Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad that you are joining us for another hope-filled message. And our prayer is that you are encouraged by this powerful Sunday sermon.
If you've been around, hopefully from the start of the year, you'd have heard Pastor Luke share, and really the focus for us this year has been around these three words that Jesus said to his disciples, and they're simply, come, follow me. An invitation that he put out to these men, and it's amazing to see that in the Bible it says that they dropped everything and they followed him. And I believe that this command, this invitation is still resonating over 2,000 years later to you and to I in this call that we would follow Jesus, that we would have a commitment to actually being with Jesus, that we would have a commitment to actually, you know, becoming like Jesus, and that out of that we would do what Jesus did as we come follow Jesus. You know, growing up for me, I had the privilege, the absolute honor was bestowed on me being the eldest child, of sometimes being allowed to go to the shops and buy certain things like maybe some bread or some eggs, whatever was needed. My mother would entrust this to me. To walk to the shop sometimes was maybe 800 meters away or something, not 800 miles, you know, those little exaggerations. Have you ever sat down with the parents and they're like, oh, back in my day, with no shoes, we used to traverse the mountains and stuff? It's not one of those stories. No, the tax on those stories, my gosh. But anyway, I had the absolute privilege of being entrusted to that. Now, this was an awesome job or role that I had been entrusted with, because sometimes there would be a little bit of extra money given so that I could maybe splash out on some lollies, a drink, a packet of chips, whatever was my heart's desire. And I was like, I like this job. This works for me because I get something out of it. Until a day came and I looked at the money that was in my hand and I was like, hey, I know how much eggs and bread cost. If I buy myself some lollies, we're not getting bread. So, like, what's going on here? And to which I was like, no, this is what you have today. And I'm like, well, Mom, like, what's in it for me? That's a dangerous question to ask an African mother, can I just be honest with you? Okay, like, I just need to check, okay? I just want to see if I'm amongst family, okay? I'm just going to say a saying out there of you know, what could have been a response sometimes when I was playing up. And I just want to see if you guys maybe grew up the same as I grew up, okay? Okay, so I just want you to repeat back to me the end of this, okay? If I brought you in this world... Oh! My, wow, I'm amongst family. Okay, I didn't do this in the 9 a.m., but I was like, oh, we'll have a little bit of fun. Okay, cool. What about this one? Stop that crying. There was a few. Or I'll give you something to cry about. My word, so good. What's in it for me, I would ask. I wonder today, maybe in your journey, you sometimes find yourself asking that question. Okay, cool, God. Come follow me, you say. But hey, what's in it for me? Because personally, that's a journey that I have had to walk out as well. Of actually going to a place where I understand what it is to truly follow Jesus. And I was like, okay, well, we'll start in the scriptures. And we're going to read today from Luke 14, verse 25 In your Bible, if you've got little titles, it actually says this is the cost of discipleship. I'm going to read it to us in verse 25. It says this, now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it. Verse 29. Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Verse 31. Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. Verse 33. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. You'll get it pretty just raw and honest with me. That's just kind of who I am and how my brain is. I'm looking at this scripture, reading it this week, and I'm like, Jesus, if you were in charge of like running a marketing firm and this was your strategy for recruitment, it's not the greatest thing to lead with. Like, I don't really know if that's going to get a lot of people through the door, you know what I mean? And then it's like, okay, cool, I'm imagining myself. It's like, well, what kind of stuff, some of the stuff that Jesus has said that I'm like, ooh, okay, cool, we need a strategy. We need to grow the discipleship network, God. Like, give me some one lines that I can tell people. Do you want to hear a few that he threw out there, Jesus? In Matthew 10, 22, he goes, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Yeah, but like, we need to give them something like, what's in it for me? Like, I'm like that part, the incentives, you know, like what are the perks that come with this role? Okay, maybe let's go to John 16, verse 33, because this one starts off awesome, right? I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. Oh, awesome. Can we stop there? No. Wait, there's a next part to it. In the world, you will have tribulation. Hey, God, like, I don't know if we, you know, I understand the test. Okay, cool. John 15, 18 and 19. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. So what's in it for me? And on this journey, I think, of discipleship and considering this idea of come follow me, there's moments as I was preparing this, I was like, okay, cool, let me maybe go down memory lane and think about my come follow me moments. The first one for me was when I made a decision to get baptized. I was 15 years old, and at that time, the church that we were attending, it didn't have like an awesome, you know, pool in here, like in church and stuff like that. We had to hire like one like from the rec center, and you know, you had your slot, you know. And the thing about this is it was also very close to my school. So for me, I was like, all right, cool. There's not too many people that know I'm a Christian at school, but they're going to see me in the pool being dunked by these guys, and they're going to have all these questions. And that was weighing on my mind. There's also the idea that the girl that I had a crush on might walk by, and she's going to be like, you're weird. Like, what's going on here? As a 15-year-old, we might laugh, but these were very real things where I was insecure. I had all these thoughts going on. Man, what is it truly going to mean, God, for me to turn away from my past, leave it, and identify with Christ? To actually say, you know what? I am not ashamed to be known as a follower of Christ. This is the name that I identify with, the name of Jesus. I didn't feel like it. But you know what? Like, can we just talk about the whole feelings thing? Don't let your relationship with Jesus be feelings-based. Because one day you will feel like it, the next you won't. And if we make decisions based on our feelings, we won't be able to be true disciples and follow the way of Jesus. And so for me, I had to consider, it's like, well, you don't feel like it, but what does the Word of God say? It says, repent and be baptized. And so, God, it's not about how I feel. It's not about, trying to have to, like, please people, or look like I'm the cool guy, all that sort of stuff. No. This is about saying, Jesus, you are Lord, and I'm going to identify with you. That was one of my come follow me moments. The other one for me was when I made a decision to go to Bible college. This is in 2009. I'm Zimbabwean, and I've got lovely parents. And I don't know if anyone can relate to this, but my parents worked really, really hard in a country where there were very limited opportunities to make sure that me and my brother and sister had an opportunity to excel, to be anything that we wanted. But also, if we're being honest with that lane is actually quite narrow in terms of actually what they really wanted. Like, there's a couple of professions, if you come from Zimbabwe, that really, really matter, okay? Like, I'm talking top shelf here, all right? Doctor? An engineer. Those two. Like if you're in any of those, oh, you're shining. Because you know what? You'll be up on fire. Oh, what's your daughter doing? Oh, what's your son doing? Ah, oh, they're a doctor. Ah, oh, they're doing really well. And all that sort of stuff. So here I am having to sit with my parents and explain to them, hey, I've got a God nudge on the inside. That this is what he's asking me to do. He's asking me to give up 2 years to pay to serve God. Okay, yes, 14 years later, we're all sitting here. It looks like it makes sense, but oh, Pastor, look, it looks like everything turned out well. They don't know that 14 years ago. There is a cost to how much they put in, the sweat, the tears, the blood to get me to where they got to. But I had to have that conversation and go, no, I truly believe this is what God is asking me to do. When I finish Bible college and it doesn't seem like it's worked out, I'm doing something that it doesn't align with what I, this is like, so how's that Bible college thing going? No, I believe that he's faithful and this is what he's called me to do. That was one of my come follow me moments. And then let's roll through. I'm a youth pastor. And we're actually at one of our leadership weekends as church. We always have one at the start of the year. It's called like Empower Weekend. And if I can be honest with you, like I was like, God, I've got pretty good at this serving thing. Like, I'll clean toilets. I'm pretty good at it now. I'll be on the car park and I'll wave people through with a smile. You know, like I've got this down. Like, so what's in it for me, God? Because I've served you pretty well. I think I deserve something. And a sense of entitlement, if I can be honest, has started to creep into my life. Look at me, God. Look at what I've done. And in that moment, I turned up and I was like, oh, would it be nice to be one of the students, you know, one of the team and get to come and sit in the service and stuff like that. But, you know, I was in the car park, I think, or something like that. So I actually didn't get to come into the service to hear the speaker because I was like, man, you know, I was probably wearing my nice bright shirt expecting to be the one that he points on. It's like, I'm going to prophesy over you. And just, I know, don't laugh. Hey, some of us have done it. It's all right. You wear your bright shirt, okay? But no, I didn't get that opportunity. But lucky as I guess maybe frustration started to grow and I'm like going, God, like, you know, this is what's going on. I just know something's not right, God. I need to hear from you. That became the cry of my heart over that weekend. And unbeknownst to me, the person who was looking after our team goes, hey, you can pop in for about 5 or so minutes. We've got a moment. And so I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, I'll go in because this is the moment where God is going to tell me what's in it for me now. And I can hear all the amazing plans and dreams he has for me. I walk in and it's a time of worship and I'm just standing there and so clearly and so vividly, 3 words come to me and these words were, whenever, wherever, and whatever. He didn't have to say much more. To me, that was it. It answered all the angst, all the frustration because in that moment, I was like, you know what, God, actually, whenever you need me, I'll be there. God, wherever you need me, I'll go. God, whatever it looks like, I'll do it. And in a moment, come follow me began to become real because you know what? It wasn't about what's in it for me anymore. Oh, I realized that he's been good to me. He's been faithful. He's been kind. If he gave me nothing else but the salvation that came through Jesus Christ, I'm already winning. And so as I kind of was thinking about this service and, you know, I really was kind of arming and hurrying about this story and I didn't give it to the team, but I want to read a couple of scriptures from the story of Esther. And I want you to listen because it's not going to come up on screen, but I really felt that it was pertinent for us here at South this morning to hear these words of a young lady named Esther who at this time in the Bible, she's a Jewish girl, they were living in Persia. And she was an orphan girl who was in the care of her uncle Mordecai. She finds herself, Bible says that she is a very beautiful girl, and she finds herself as one of the wives of the king, which is such a privileged position that she found herself in. At that time, though, there was a wicked man named Haman who was literally plotting to get all the Jewish people killed by passing an edict during that time. Mordecai gets wind of this, and he goes, no, Esther is in a position of influence. I'm going to send word to her. And that's where we pick up this verse where it says that, and in Christian circles, we kind of quote the last part of it, and says this in Esther 4, verse 14. For if you remain silent, this is Mordecai speaking, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. And I felt it very vividly, maybe even prophetically for a lot of us in this room, that there's some of us, and you've been asking God some big questions around the position you find yourself in, maybe the resource that you're kind of carrying, the opportunities that you have, and it hasn't quite clicked, but I get a strong sense that it's for such a time as this. That the cry of God's heart saying, come follow me, is for such a time as this. When we look at the world and everything that is going on in it, not to be commentators, but to be hope bringers, I feel like we have been positioned to bring hope for such a time as this. That gift that you have is for such a time as this. Who you are and your story and what God's done in your life is for such a time as this. But that's encouraging, and that's all well and good. But Esther still got to go and present herself to the king to ask for him to move in the situation. Now, in that time, for Esther to go before the king without an appointment meant that she could be put to death if she didn't follow the protocol of the day. That was just the law. And so it says this in verse 15. Then Esther, after getting, I guess, this pep talk from Mordecai, this is her response. She goes, then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. She's like, I need the church. With this one, I can't do on my own. Get the brothers, the sisters, the aunties, the uncles, the grandparents, and we gotta fast. Church, I just believe that's a word. We've got to stand together. We got to fast. There's some things that we can't move without prayer and fasting. So we got to fast. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king. This is the line that got me and kind of just broke me this week. She goes, even though this is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. And I'm reading this and I'm going, God, I'm not there yet. But I want to be in a year of come follow me. This is where I want to get to. The confidence, the sheer answer to the cause that Esther had to say, you know what? I've heard the cry, and at the end of the day, it's not about what's in it for me. If I perish, I perish. And I know that's like a bit of a big thing on a Sunday morning. I'm really sorry, but I love how Jesus, when he talks about the cost of following him, he didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't lie to us. He didn't try and just get us through the door and then let us figure out how hard it was going to be as the team comes and joins me. But he was very, very upfront. The world's going to hate you. You will have trouble. It's not going to be easy. But take heart, for he has overcome the world. And as I sat and as I began to just think about that in my own life, I was like, God, there is a cause. There is a cause that we have been called to. The Bible makes it clear that we are to go into all the world and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Friends, you don't have to do it like I do it. You get to do it in the unique way that he created you to do it. I think some of the issue with obedience is because we think that it needs to be a carbon copy. I should feel like today God's going to take the weight of that and he wants to speak. to dreams that have been put on the wayside because maybe you try to do it in your own strength and it became hard. But his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And as we submit to him and go, okay, cool, whenever, wherever, whatever, can I beg to ask the question, what would our community look like? We're not waiting, for like I was saying in the season, on a government. But like Pastor Ned saw it a few years ago. I'm going to walk into the Auckland Council meeting and ask if we could start a soup kitchen. What if I get egg on my face and they laugh at me? I'm not qualified. Don't have the resource. But this man in the front row, God nudge. I didn't even plan to share this story. It just came to me. I'm just like, today, remind me, how many do we have? 10 community kitchens. I'm not waiting on someone else. What's in my hand? Who's God put around me? For some of us, it's as simple as parenting. Whoever told us that obedience to God meant we have to buy a plane ticket and go to Africa and be missionaries? For some reason, that's where, like, you know, it's like, oh, I've got to, that's suffering for Jesus, you know? But what's he saying to you?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I trust you're encouraged by this incredibly powerful word. You know, you've always got a place to call home here at Life, and I want to encourage you to join us in one of our campuses in Auckland or Tauranga, or why don't you join us at church online? To find out more about Life and to stay connected with us, why don't you visit lifenz.org.